Hey everybody, welcome back to the 29th episode of the Nintendo Wiretap. I'm Hero TJ, and I'm here with my good buddy Amiibo Jason, who I know you guys can't see him, but he is looking rugged and scruffy, quite manly.
Thank you. Wirecast, by the way, TJ. Wirecast.
What did I say?
You said wiretap.
Should we take it again?
Nah, man, let it go. Just let it roll.
All right, I was feeling pretty good about
Unless
it,
Unless it's going to kill you.
That's discouraging. Nope, you know what? I have a very relaxed spirit about it, so...
I left an entire segment with me running out to fix my car alarm last week. So I think you can handle this 10 extra seconds here.
Yeah, that's the tone of it.
All right, TJ, man, what has been up? I mean, obviously, we are still living in a very weird timeline at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm still stuck inside. I'm going slightly crazy. I'm growing a rugged beard.
Yeah, in some ways, I feel like I'm not sharing in the biggest crisis that's happened within our lifetime because I'm so disaffected by it.
Yeah.
And I'm living it semi-vicariously through family and friends and everybody that I know that lives in America, but not being a participant and not actually having all the circumstances affect me in the way that it does. There's a little bit of, like, I guess, guilt.
Yeah.
Guilty feeling about that,
I suppose. Don't feel guilty. Just, I mean, I'm jealous of you, obviously, but you don't want to be dealing with this right now. I mean, my state...
I don't, right.
We pushed the stay-at-home order another month, so we are now into the end of May before I can go back into the office. So another month of working from home. It's been about 3.5 weeks of me working directly from home at this point. And the first week was great. I mean, it was like the greatest thing ever. Week two was a bit more difficult. Week three is when it hits you that you need something outside of your house to, like, kind of maintain the mental stability.
Yeah, and even to be able to tell, like, one day from the next, right? Because
exactly,
otherwise,
yeah.
Like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they all just blur into each other without appointments that take
Very
place
true.
Outside of the house.
But so, what are you going to do? I mean,
it
is what it is. I mean, I think we're, like, almost at, like, a million cases in the U.S. I think it was something like 800,000 last time I checked.
That's a lot.
I think that's what it was. So, I mean, again, I feel lucky that I have a job I can work from home at. So that's the majority of my complaining, because a lot of people have it a lot worse than I do. And
yeah,
we get to talk about Nintendo.
Totally. I saw this Facebook post from a friend, and it got retweeted by a ton of friends, where it's like, people are saying, well, we're all in the same boat. And they're like, no, we're not all in the same boat. We're all in the same storm.
Yeah.
And people are definitely, there's a wide spectrum of how affected people are by it right now. And so certainly all of our hearts go out to the people who are really suffering, who can't work from home and who are really struggling to find a way to provide. And that's kind of guts me.
So out of curiosity, since you're technically in Taiwan, but you're not a resident of Taiwan, did you guys get a stimulus check?
Yes, because we still pay American taxes.
That works. That's pretty great.
Yeah. But I guess, if I understand correctly, it's just an advance to the tax return we were going to get anyway.
No. You get to pay it. No? You don't have to pay it back.
Well, I think that it comes out of what we were going to get as a return.
I don't believe so.
Oh, well, I could be wrong. But
I am nearly positive that's not the case.
Because I thought that for some people... it would just basically be like a tax advance. And for people who it exceeded what their tax advance would be, they would not have to pay it back.
Got. From what I understand, that's not the case. Because I owe every single year. Like, every year, I owe. Because I have obviously, Nintendo Wire makes some money. So, that being said, this is just a check on top of all of that. I don't owe anything additional.
Well, that should be true for you. But for me, because I never claim anything, and we have dependents, but we never claim them, we usually get money back. We pay more into taxes than we actually owe.
Yeah.
And so they refund us.
I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised, because from everything I've understood on this, I think you're in good shape. We're not going to turn this into an economics podcast, though, I promise.
Yeah, well, that's definitely far outside of my wheelhouse, so I know nothing about that. I know a lot more about Nintendo.
Yeah. Oh, besides that, though, we do have some big-ish Nintendo news. News that I feel like would have fit well in it, like a Nintendo Direct. I'm surprised we got kind of back-to-back big update news for Animal Crossing and for Super Mario Maker 2.
Yeah, that was really surprising. I was even thinking, I wonder what topic Jason and I should come up with to fill that podcast. And all of a sudden, like almost a minute later, my phone starts giving me these random middle-of-the-day messages. I guess it wasn't middle of the day for you, but so strange and so big and so just no fanfare. They just rolled it right out at a random time of the day.
And Mario Maker 2 is... I feel like it's been out a long enough time now where these updates, I feel like, should have happened already. I was under the impression that Nintendo kind of forgot about Mario Maker 2, that they were done with it, that for some reason maybe it didn't live up to the expectations that maybe Nintendo had for it. But I was very pleasantly surprised, because not only are we getting some pretty amazing updates to this, they're also giving us like a world maker for Super Mario Maker 2, something a lot of people have wanted for a very long time. So that being said, I'm very, very happy about that.
I'll tell you, I forgot about it. I played the game through single player mode, and the way that it's structured with Nintendo Online now and the way that, which I have, but still, that combined with how much I despise the course maker.
Yeah.
It really, and which we talked about last week, we talked about what an inferior product it is compared to its predecessor on the Wii U. And so that really is a big turnoff to me. But I gotta say, these additions might be enough for me to automatically kind of push it into the superior category. Because they added some things that I've really wanted, and some things I dared not even dream, like the Koopalings.
Yeah.
By adding all 7 Koopalings as available enemies for every mode except for the Mario 3D World.
Yeah.
That is super awesome. And now that you have all of these different... now that you can connect all of the levels that you make into these different worlds, like the mind reels at the possibilities of what far more creative and tolerant and patient people than myself will create that I might have the opportunity to play. However, it brings up one of the classic criticisms of the Mario Maker series, and that is curation. So how do these golden levels find their way to me? Like, do I have to sift through this list of millions, including garbage and fodder made by myself? Like, I don't know that I have the patience for that, but if there is some way where the cream rises to the top and I can just take all of these 5-star golden levels in this world mode and play those, I would love that. I would be all about that.
I might talk to the team this week and see, maybe we can do like a daily spotlight for some just absolutely amazing courses. I mean, I feel like other sites might do something like that too, but I'm going to look into that. Maybe Nintendo Wire can help you find those good levels.
Oh, that sounds like a good plan.
But I'm going to go through the list of power-ups here. I mean, there's a lot more than power-ups, but there is a Super Mario Bros. 2 mushroom, and that's my favorite piece of this entire thing.
Totally.
So it transforms Mario into his sprite from Mario Bros. 2, or the Doki Doki Panic clone. So there isn't a specific Mario Bros. 2 filter for everything, but this is kind of a nice little, I don't know, it's like a bonus. Not only does he look like him from Mario Bros. 2, he also can pick up items and pick up enemies like he could in that game. Very, very nice addition. Frog suit.
I actually think you and I might be of the same mind on this Mario 2 one, where I wish that it was a Mario 2 mode. I do wish that they had just, even if it was separate, like...
It would have to be.
Well, I don't know. They did just find a way to make it compatible with the power-up.
I think the mechanics of the movement and the enemies would be too different overall.
They just kind of did it, though, didn't they? Wouldn't you think that they could take that power up, and instead of making it a power up, just make it how Mario functions mechanically in that mode.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, possibly. I guess my question is, because Mario 2 was based on a game that was not a Mario game, it was based on Doki Doki Panic.
Right.
Can they emulate the Mario 2 experience seamlessly and be able to switch it back and forth between other sections?
Like, I guess that's exactly what's happening with that power-up, because you imagine Mario gets hit, and then it goes back to regular Mario mode.
Yeah.
Whichever Mario mode you happen to be in. And then you get the power-up again, then boom, you're now Super Mario Brothers 2.
Part of me wonders, because I feel like Mario 2 controlled slightly different. Mario felt different when you were moving him. Obviously, I've never played it. I haven't played this update yet. It comes out tomorrow.
You know, I didn't think about that. Yeah, maybe he does play a little bit different, which does also beg the question of how the other characters will play. Like, what happens if Luigi gets this? Does he then look like Super Mario Brothers to Luigi or
Toad
or Toadette?
Does he do the flutter with his feet?
Yeah, I imagine he probably doesn't, because that does then change the way that each character would control.
Yeah.
That might be part of the problem there. They didn't even show any of the other characters. They didn't discuss that at all. So
I was under the assumption the other characters aren't getting included, but I could be wrong.
I don't know how that could be unless they automatically made the Mario 2 levels single player. Like, you couldn't...
Yeah.
Because a lot of the levels just allow you to do multiplayer. Another thing which is a little bit convoluted, and I wish I fully understood it. I downloaded as many multiplayer levels as I could because I wanted to play with my kids. But even still, it's a little bit trickier to find the kind of levels that I want to play than I want it to be. And it sounds like that's going to be a reoccurring problem.
Yeah.
It could be a TJ problem. Like, I just have some tech limitations and the game kind of exceeds my natural ability to be able to siphon out the content, which does happen. I had the same problem with the Wii U Smash Brothers menu, where I had to really, really play with that thing for a long time before I could figure out where stuff was. So I think that Mario Brothers 2 getting acknowledged in some way,
yeah,
makes me happy, because it is the black sheep. It's my favorite out of the NES titles.
It's just fun and different.
It's fun and different. That it gets anything, I think, is great. It's a half measure, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the half measure than nothing.
So there's a frog suit too, which I was shocked to find out wasn't in the game to begin with. The frog suit lets Mario walk on water, which I think is kind of neat. Water, I guess.
And that's an addition, because that you couldn't do in the original one.
And then you have a power balloon, which somebody mentioned on a video that I did on this subject, that the power balloon was in a game already. But I think the power balloon is more like the cape mechanic to a certain degree, where you can kind of flutter in the air.
I was confused about that too, because I thought the power balloon was already in it also.
I can't remember any instance where that was a thing.
And it's totally possible that I'm conflating it with something else, because I've only played, I don't know, a million Mario games. So I'm not for sure, but I feel like...
I guess it was. So,
the power balloon... I'm not sure exactly what's different about this one.
It was in Super Mario World, so apparently the power balloon.
Oh yeah. So you didn't remember it from any Mario game?
I did not remember it whatsoever.
Oh yeah. Well, I was a little confused with what you're saying. I thought it was already in Mario Maker. I definitely vividly remember it from Super Mario World, because to unlock Special World, there is like this just cursed level where you have to be in the power balloon and go from power balloon to power balloon all the way through, while those I don't remember his name now, the guy who keeps kicking footballs at you.
Oh yeah, Charging Chuck or something.
Charging Chuck. He's like ceaselessly kicking them, and then once you get near, they try to run off of their little block and get you.
Yeah.
And my brother and I definitely spent probably the same amount of time trying to beat that level as we did the rest of the game.
Yeah.
That was definitely a really brutal one for me.
So I never had a Super Nintendo growing up, so that's probably why.
That's a Mario World exclusive, I believe. I can't think of another time when I've encountered it.
So they have the Super Acorn, the boomerang flower. The mechanic I think that's going to be the most interesting is the cannon box, where Mario can have a cannon on his head,
yeah,
and he can use it to fire projectiles.
Yeah,
I think we're going to see some really interesting side-scrolling shooting levels built with this mechanic. I'm not sure specifically what that's going to look like, but the moment I saw that thing in action in this trailer, I'm like, people are going to make some crazy things out of this.
Yeah, they've already made some pretty cool shooter ones out of the fire clown car,
yeah,
which are a blast. And I think that this is really fun too. This is exclusive to the 3D world mode, right? Because I know that that's from...
I'm not sure. I'm guessing yes, but...
It's from 3D World,
yeah.
But I don't know if they made it so that you could play it in the other ones. Probably not, because I don't think that there's, unless I'm misremembering, I don't think there's any situation where something that is an exclusive function of 3D World that you could do in any of the other games.
Yeah.
So that would stand to reason that the Eggcorn power-up is probably exclusive to that mode too.
Which would make sense. So you have the, propeller box, the red POW box, which is kind of nice. Again, it's something you can wear with the POW block on your head. The Goomba mask is awesome. Again, it reminds me of Majora's Mask in Zelda.
Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild, where you can kind of blend in with enemies. I like that one. And then a Bullet Bill mask, where you can kind of propel through stages. Again, I saw that one and thought, people are going to make some insane things.
Yeah, that Bullet Bill one. You see people doing something that's already like pseudo complex,
yeah,
in the teaser trailer. I cannot even imagine what these top level players are going to come up with. Just the most cruel and heartless, impossible platforming.
There is one other Mario 2 mechanic, and that's the cursed key, where Fanto comes and chases you around the stage.
Yeah, I love that.
So I'm digging that. I think there's going to be some kind of cool levels with Fanto where you have to pick up the key and you have to escape him. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, I had nightmares about that as a kid.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. That was one of the scariest things. Because Super Mario Brothers 2, it was a big part of my childhood. I played Mario, the original Super Mario Brothers. I had the Duck Hunt dual cartridge.
Yeah.
And I played it a lot. And I think the upgrade between 1 and 2 was just so big that I enjoyed 2 a lot more. And being able to play as Mario, Luigi, Toad, Peach was just such a huge upgrade that I immediately connected with that one a lot more strongly. So I spent way more time in that game. And that cursed key, man, I just remember those masks chasing me in my dreams.
Yeah.
Trying to steal back the key and me feeling like, no, go away.
See, as a kid, I had 1 and 3. My neighbor had 2. So anytime I played 2, it was at my neighbor's house. I never had a lot of quality time with it. So I guess I never really had those strong feelings. But when I grew up, 2 became my favorite, for sure. It was just a fun game. It was very different. And especially when you only played 1 and 3, playing 2, especially for like marathon sessions, it was a very, very different experience. So
yeah.
I'm excited to see that's coming back.
Of course, 3 is the gold standard.
Oh, yeah.
But with 2, the replayability with seeing if you could get through different levels with different characters, and in some ways you can kind of break the game if you're Luigi in some spots where other characters couldn't do it, and that kind of varied play style made that one the most replayable to me.
Yeah. No, yeah, I totally agree. And then Mecha Koopa is another thing that was added.
Yeah.
I can't remember. What was the Mecha Koopa mechanic?
Mecha Koopa... I don't remember if it was Mario 3 or Super Mario World, but Bowser would throw it out of the clown car.
Oh, yeah, jump, yeah, that was Mario World, I think, for the first time. Final boss, I think he threw him out, right?
Yeah, you'd have to jump on it, and that would kind of like stun it, and then you could throw it up and hit him with it.
But they were bombs, more or less, right?
Yeah, right?
I think so.
I don't remember what they do when they get to you. Are they like bombs or clap traps?
I'm not sure. I gotta look that up now.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And then
it's a game I've only played a million bajillion times.
You know, I have it like right next to me right now too.
Oh, nice.
Because I've never beat the game. You know, I wonder if
really?
I did. I might have beat it on Game Boy Advance when it got released, but again, I never had a Super Nintendo as a kid.
That's probably the first game ever that I 100%ed in as a kid, and then I have since 100%ed it many, many times, including like with my adult brother. We were both 30-year-olds sitting there. Hey, how much of this game do we remember? And just going through and getting every single exit out of every single one.
Man. Oh, I mean, obviously the big thing here is the World Maker. And this is something, again, a lot of people have wanted. Ever since Mario 3, World Maker has been a big part, or the world map has been a big part of Mario games. Everything I've seen about this looks fantastic. I like the idea of being able to share multiple levels in a coherent way with other people. And I think we're going to see a lot of really cool themed stages. I think the community makes some absolutely insane things that Nintendo themselves probably has no clue. Like, how did these people come up with this? So I'm very, very interested to see what's going to, you know, come out of the woodwork with these. My guess is we're going to start seeing some pretty crazy courses starting the end of this week. I think people are going to have enough time to play with it starting tomorrow. And then by Friday, we're going to see things that are going to be like full quality. Like if Nintendo like made it and sold it to you, you would have no idea that it's any different.
Yeah, because there are already people out there who've done this. They just didn't have the format.
Yeah.
So they've made whole worlds, and you kind of have to sift through yourself and figure out how to access them in the correct sequence. So now they just, you imagine it's probably going to be a plug and play. They could just pretty much plug all of those levels that they made into those spots, making it a lot easier for them to share and a lot easier for us to consume.
Yeah.
People really fall into a couple different camps with this game. You have the filthy casuals, which I think is what I would classify myself as.
Sure.
Where I just restored the castle. That's it. I just played through single player mode. Yeah. And I will say those were excellent levels. I loved them. I thought they were super well put together. And I have played some good ones online, but there is just so much trash that you play enough kind of garbage levels in a row. And I don't mean necessarily just bad. Some are great, but impossible. Like my skill level is not what it needs to be. If I'm gonna have to like throw an enemy and jump on that enemy, and then that thing hit another enemy, and then I land on that enemy, and then I catch something and I throw it and I land on it, okay, I'm out.
Yeah.
That's way, way beyond where I'm ever gonna be. Some precision platforming, sign me up. I'm all about that. But when you have to start really like throwing stuff and then catching it and kicking something else, that's a little bit beyond my skill set with Mario. I'll never have that ability.
So sorry, real quick, something just went up in stock here at Amazon. I got to tell the good folks at home that it's up in stock right now. The Lego Super Mario set is up. So if you're interested, TJ, you might want to get on that now.
You know, Amazon does not ship to Taiwan, sadly.
Wait a minute. Are we getting some breaking news right now? Did they just announce a new Splatfest right now? Oh my gosh.
Nintendo is on a roll with this.
All right, so stand by real quick. So,
oh yeah. This is Amiibo Jason in his element.
This used to happen on podcasts all the time, but when Amiibo would go in stock.
Yeah.
Okay, one second. I'm almost done here.
Yep, take your time. This is important. Get the word out to the people.
The people must know.
Oh, yeah, I see it right now. They did.
TJ, I'm going to have you go ahead and take a look at that Splatfest info while I'm doing this.
Yep, I see it. It's a Splatoon 2 Splatfest. So contentious, we have to do it twice. Team Mayo and Team Ketchup are back, and it's up to you to determine which sauce is the boss. This bonus one-off Splatfest kicks off 5/22 at 3 p.m. That's today for me. and ends at 5:24 at 3 p.m. Pacific time. So that's going to be later, Pacific time. Mayonnaise is like the devil. So out of these two, obviously ketchup is the superior winner. And they also have another incoming announcement. A special demo event for Splatoon 2 is on the way. You'll be able to play Turf War, Ranked Battle, Salmon Run, and more beginning 4:29 at 11 p.m. Pacific time to 5:06 at 6:59 a.m. Pacific time. And in addition, Splatoon 2 will be available at a discounted price on Nintendo eShop during the duration of the Splatfest 2 Special Demo 2020, and a free 7-day trial of Nintendo Switch Online will also be available so that you can play online with friends. So there's you can play the game for free. They're putting a new little reoccurring Splatfest in. I am assuming that means there's already been a Mayo versus Ketchup.
Yeah, there has been. So this is pretty much
a rematch.
Yeah, I'm back from the dead here too. So that being said, everything that you just said is right. It's kicking off on May 22nd. I think having a Splatfest during quarantine is like the best thing ever. It's this big community kind of project. But the big thing is, it's surprising because we were supposed to be done with Splatfests.
Yeah.
The last Splatfest was called the Final Fest, and that was supposed to be it. So it's kind of surprising they're just bringing it back with ketchup and mayo. I don't understand it. I really don't.
I wonder if it's part of the strategy for them to see how much of their content they can remind people exists now that they've got this whole new installment of Switch owners.
Yeah.
And they can't really generate new content as easily now, but they maybe could it's easier to revive content that already at some point existed. So I guess we don't know to what extent their launch plans have been affected for the rest of 2020.
Yeah.
But they did just have this huge boom in Switch sales. Now there's all these people who bought Switch and own Animal Crossing, and they've been playing Animal Crossing for almost a month now, and are probably looking for what their next flavor is going to be, and Nintendo's trying to remind them of some of the greatest hits that happened from the early days of launch. So now the hate, guess what? We got Splatoon 2. You want to try it for free? And try some Nintendo Online while you're at it for free, and here's what the Splatfests were like.
Yeah,
we already did this one.
It's not a bad idea. It's just, they had a whole story arc, and then Team Apocalypse won. Like, it's supposed to be the apocalypse. So I'm not sure how they're going to address this for the story and the canon of it. And again, I know it's Splatoon, so it's not like it needs to have this outstanding canon. But at the same time, too, I'm shocked they went this route. I'm curious. I'm really, really curious how they're going to play this out.
Yeah, I have to confess to being completely ignorant on this. While I do own Splatoon 2, my daughter plays it, and for whatever reason, the game just completely bounced off me, and I just could not get into it. Even though I love the style and I love the premise, I just don't really, I can't do the game. So I have never participated in a Splatfest.
Yeah.
So I'm a little in the dark on that. Although I can't say definitively that ketchup is superior to mayonnaise.
Yeah, I'm more of a ketchup guy. I'm not a mayo fan. So, but again, I'm surprised. This is kind of odd that two big things happened kind of back to back here on the podcast. So
yeah, that was pretty cool to have it just roll out the second that we're chatting.
It really is.
The whole theme of the episode is Nintendo going, surprise, new content, and bam.
I really want to know how they're going to do this. I'm so curious.
Well, you don't have to wait for too long.
Well, about a month.
Like 5:22. Oh, shoot. Yeah, 5:22.
Yeah, that not 4:22. Oh, boy. All right.
So many numbers thrown at me all at once. Yeah, that's happening.
So the other big piece of news we had besides Mario Maker was Animal Crossing New Horizons is also getting a massive update starting on Thursday. So starting tomorrow is Mario Maker. Starting Thursday is Animal Crossing New Horizons. It's adding a lot of things that were previously rumored, some things that were previously data mined. and some things that I think a lot of people were hoping for. There's one big omission in this that I'm kind of disappointed about, and that's there's no Brewster, but here's hoping Brewster is still part of this update, and maybe he's just not front and center, but either way. Out of curiosity,
I know Brewster's
before we go,
your guy.
What'd you say?
I know Brewster's your guy.
He is my guy. I love Brewster. So, out of curiosity, I'm assuming you saw this news.
I did.
Are you still playing Animal Crossing pretty religiously?
Yeah, it's the only thing we're really playing right now.
Got it. Yeah, I'm kind of taking a small break from Animal Crossing at the moment. I might jump back in tonight, and definitely when this update comes out, I'm definitely in. The red mechanic, I'm excited for. So let's go down the list real quick, then we'll talk about the things that come in this update. So again, the update kicks off on Thursday. It includes Leaf's Garden Shop. So Leaf is a sloth gardening character. He's also going to be selling what appears to be shrubs and bushes. So
is Leaf a boy?
To spruce up the island.
I always thought Leaf was a girl. Leaf is a boy?
Maybe it's a... I have no idea. I assumed. I guess I just assumed his gender.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter. I don't know why I assumed a girl.
Like I said before, Red is coming back. So Jolly Red's Treasure Trawler is what it's called.
I like that. I like that. Incorporating some bit of a pirate theme
is
super appropriate for that character. Although I will say, while I liked the art, it was by far the most aggravating.
Yeah.
Because Red would show up very sporadically in New Leaf, and when he did, he'd have like four pieces of art, and it was so annoying to be like, oh, Red's here. I guess that means I have to break out the internet and figure out which one of these is correct, because while I recognize a lot of these art pieces, I studied art in school. I probably know a lot more about traditional historic art than I would say the average person.
Yeah.
So I recognize these paintings. I could even name some of these paintings, but I don't have such a nuanced recollection of them that I would notice some of the subtle adjustments to these pictures. Some of them are obvious, like a wave is upside down or Mona Lisa has a mustache or something like that. But some of them, they are really, really subtle, and it's hard to... Even knowing which one is the correct one, it's sometimes still hard to identify. So that kind of forced me to have to do a little bit more art history research than I actually appreciated.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's going to be easier this time around. The 3DS had very limited resolution, so it was difficult to see those pixels. And
that's
I think with this,
point.
With the 1080p display, if you have it on the TV, it's going to be easier to pick out what's wrong.
You
in
know
my
what?
Opinion.
That's true. Maybe that is the root of my problem, was that even though the art was easily identifiable, sometimes what was wrong with it wasn't, and it could come down to the pixelated quality.
I am curious though. So, New Leaf had the Statue of David.
Yes.
In it. In its full glory. Like, no fig leaf. Like, full-on pixelated dong.
It did have, some kind of wrong version that was a fig leaf or something, right?
But the right version was not censored in any way, shape, or form. So I'm curious if they're going to bring that back for New Horizons.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
In the high def, it's the first thing I thought of. I don't know what that says, but it's the first thing I thought of. With all the high definition glory of the Switch, are we going to see David in his full glory? That's the only question I want answered.
Yeah, I don't know why we wouldn't. I suppose if it's appropriate enough for a museum, and you could take people of any age to the museum. But
it's
then
fine
again,
art.
It's fine art, but that's a blurry line. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Man, only time is going to tell on that
you
one.
You got a good point. Now I'm curious.
Besides that, we got Nature Day coming on April 23rd through May 4th. During Nature Day, Tom Nook has Nook Mile challenges, which are going to be focused on nature-inspired goals, such as planting trees and watering flowers. Fancy. The big thing, one of the big things here, is the May Day Tour. And this tour is in the first week of May. Players can use a one-time May Day ticket at the Island Airport to head out on a limited-time tour to an island that looks different to the usual Mystery Island tours. A special villager who looks familiar, fan favorite cat Rover from past Animal Crossing games, is shown to be there too. That's exciting. So Rover is a big one. People wanted Rover back.
Yeah, Rover's my favorite character in Animal Crossing.
Is he really?
So yeah, so I'm happy to see that he's making an appearance, even if it's just a guest spot. Or maybe, who knows, we don't know exactly what is going to come from this encounter. Maybe he will have a more significant impact on the game. Though he never really stayed around much. He just would pop up from time to time in the previous ones also.
Yeah.
But I think he's a super cool cat, pun intended. And it would be nice to be able to have him back into the fold.
Yeah.
They're slowly starting to tick off characters on the list that had been omitted and bringing them back into the family, which is pretty cool for people who are already familiar with the series. And I guess it's also pretty cool for people who are meeting him for the first time.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think it was always the assumption that Nintendo was going to start rolling this stuff out as time went on to keep people interested in Animal Crossing. So it makes sense. It does.
I like the idea of event islands.
Oh, yeah, now, for sure.
That's way more exciting to me than like the Bunny Day event.
Yeah.
Where the Bunny Day event, in theory, was a blast. It just wound up being a little fatiguing. So I'm not totally sure about this one-time ticket. So does that mean we could go visit this island one time during that?
That's what I thought. So I think from May 1st to May 7th, you have one time to do it.
Okay. I'll have to make the most of that visit.
Yeah. The International Museum Day. To celebrate International Museum Day, players can take part in a stamp rally. After receiving a special stamp card, players can enjoy viewing fish, insects, and fossils while collecting stamps at various museum exhibits to earn an in-game reward. That one is pretty generic, but...
Yeah, my kids and I just did that recently out here. Well, I say recently, like maybe last year, towards the end of the year, we went to a brick museum. And
sure.
It's like a Lego museum, essentially. So it showed the history of like all these different things, all these unbelievable Lego constructions. And they had those stamp things at several checkpoints. So I think that that will be a fun thing for my family because it'll remind them of the real-life experience that we had at the museum.
There you go. Wedding season is the last event. That's June 1st through June 30th. During a nuptial-themed June, at least it would have been if it wasn't for COVID-19, players can visit Harvey's Island to meet the married couple Reese and Cyrus, another two characters that were omitted from the initial game, as well as help...
You hate those alpacas.
I don't...
Don't you?
...necessarily hate them.
Was it you that was, like, railing on them?
You know, I think it might have been because of the amiibo, but besides that, they're fine. I have no issue with Reese and Cyrus.
Yeah.
So you can take anniversary photos with them, which is cute, but it's like a wedding feature photo mode. Again, it's cute.
Yeah, I don't know what appeal taking pictures of their wedding would have to me. Maybe it'd be cool if I could get my wife's avatar and mine in there, and we take some wedding pictures. That might be fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Reese and Cyrus, I never did any of the crafting. Cyrus might as well not even been in the game for me.
Yeah.
Because I think I talked to him, like, twice. But Reese was the avenue through which you recycled the things that you found.
Yeah.
So I had to sell to her all the time. Maybe even more than... Did you sell to Timmy and Tommy, or did you sell everything to Reese?
No, you could do both.
Oh, okay. I probably sold to Reese more because she was so much more proximal to me.
I think they were open later.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Part of me wonders, I don't think retail closes.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I'll never go back and find out now that I'm playing New Horizons.
Then the big pieces here we're getting in update to the museum. So... We're getting genuine art that you can purchase through Red. You can only donate genuine art. Again, very New Leaf. And then an addition to the museum, I'm guessing a wing is being opened where you can have an art gallery. So again, yeah, makes a lot of sense. I'm excited to see what that's going to look like. It's going to add a lot more, I think, fun to the mix. I'm really sick of Gulliver already at this point. He's on my beach like every other day, it seems like.
I never see Gulliver.
Do you never see him?
Maybe once or twice. I saw him like my first day, I think, ever playing. Not once I got out of the tutorial mode. And then I found those little 5 buried pieces that he needed to fix his communicator.
Yeah.
And then the next time I saw him was a little while later, and it was the exact same thing. And I was like, oh, screw that. Sorry, Gulliver. You're stranded, sucker.
Oh,
and
then, poor guy.
And maybe I saw him like asleep on the beach another couple times, and I just ignore him now.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I liked him at first, but yeah, not so much anymore.
He's awfully chatty. Awfully chatty.
He kind of is. And you have to, wake him up like 5 or 6 times first?
You know who else is a little bit obnoxiously chatty, I have to say? Isabel. She drives me kind of crazy.
Why?
She never has anything substantive to say in my town, so what she's always saying is, hey, let me tell you about this TV show that I watched last night.
Oh, come on, it's cute.
It's not, and I've had the same TV show, like she explains to me the same TV show multiple times,
yeah,
over and over again. And I feel like either there needed to be a much wider variety of things, yeah, for her to say, or I don't know what's happening. Like maybe they're loading my town in the background and they just need to give her something.
I'm sure they are.
To say. I actually would prefer a loading screen.
Oh, man.
It really does kind of grate on me a lot. And I think it's because it's just so repetitious that it breaks that veil of immersion.
Yeah.
Where when she asked me questions that mattered in New Leaf, like, hey, everything cool? Time and date right? And I'm like, yep, it's good. Let's go in. Let's do this thing. Then I get in and I play the game. But now she's like saying trivial things that,
yeah,
really are not in any way part of the game. I would rather she said stuff like, hey, did you know that this time of year you can catch a tuna?
Like, that would make sense, actually. I like that idea. Like useful trivia, depending on what's going on in the town at the time.
And I don't care what her parents are doing. I just don't. And
I want to know who her parents are. I want to meet her parents. I mean, we know what she has a brother, Digby.
Yep.
So I'm guessing
maybe
that
told us about
one of
Digby.
Wait, what?
I'd rather know about Digby. I'd rather.
Where's Digby at, by the way? Where's he hiding?
Isn't he a big time real estate mogul, yeah, in the dream world?
Yeah, initially he was. Yeah, I mean, he was such a big part of New Leaf. He was such a big part that he was one of the default amiibo you could buy when Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival, the best Animal Crossing game ever, came out on the Wii U.
Second that motion. Yeah, that maybe that game did him in. Maybe that sealed his fate.
You think so? Like that was too much for him?
Nintendo wanted to avoid any association with that train wreck, and so they scapegoated poor Digby.
Oh, poor Digby. That's still heavily candied's favorite, like, NPC, by far.
He's exclusive to that game, right?
Yeah, New Leaf. And the Amiibo Festival.
No, I mean the Amiibo was... the only way to get him was to buy Amiibo Festival.
You could not buy him separately.
Yeah, so I think he very naturally became the scapegoat for that game.
I can see that. He was supposed to be, like, a limited-time-only Amiibo. It said it right there on the box. Like, exclusive, like, launch edition.
Yeah.
Obviously, they never had to print a second run of that game.
No.
So.
No, they didn't.
You never got the Isabel exclusive edition of that.
Right.
But either way, I mean, Animal Crossing's update, again, is coming out on Thursday. I'm excited on this one. Happily Candy's excited about this one. Everybody and their mother is playing Animal Crossing. And speaking of Animal Crossing, before we get off this topic, I want to discuss one more thing regarding Animal Crossing, and that is the sales numbers that have come out for New Horizons, and they're absolutely insane.
Yeah, truly staggering.
Again, we are in the middle of a pandemic, people are having a hard time getting out of their homes, but Animal Crossing has still managed, physically only, this does not include any digital sales whatsoever, it has managed to become Nintendo's third best-selling games in its for the opening month since 2008, since they started tracking this stuff. The only games that have performed better in their first month was Super Smash Bros. Brawl and Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. It has outsold, really, in its first month, Mario games, Zelda games, in a pandemic,
Pokemon games.
It is absolutely insane. Pokemon games
even have an unfair advantage because there's two of them.
Yeah.
They're twins.
It's a bare minimum of 70% of the people I know that have this game bought it digitally.
I count me among them. I bought this game digitally.
I never buy digitally, and I bought this game digitally three times. I bought three digital copies of this game for my family. And so
right now, sitting here, there are four copies purchased between us. None of them count towards the statistic.
Yeah.
And that is where it really starts getting interesting, because I wonder if I heard on some other podcasts of Nintendo fans that I listened to where they were actually having this kind of debate with each other and themselves about the digital thing, where most people who I know like physical, prefer physical. I have evolved to pure digital because I just cannot stand switching cartridges now. It gets way too pedestrian of a task for me.
Oh, I'm in the same boat. They're so tiny.
In 2020. And so if I want to play Mario Maker and then I want to switch to Splatoon, or I've got young kids with the attention span of gnats, if they're going to like want to switch to Rayman Legends or Mario Kart, I can't be changing cartridges every 2 seconds. But people like to have the physical thing. But people were debating, you know, I would like a physical Animal Crossing. However, it is a game where I have daily check-ins. I don't really think that I want to have to constantly deal with the cartridge, so I'm going to get this one digitally. I feel like a lot of people got pushed digital on this title who ordinarily would have bought physical, which then would make the true sale number even more astounding.
Well, I mean, the COVID thing, too, has many people. It was all over Twitter, people canceling their physical pre-orders because they were concerned they weren't going to arrive on day one.
Right.
So, again, when digital numbers come out, I think things are going to be insane. And I think this is Nintendo's new flagship property.
Yeah, it sure could be, right? And who would have thought, out of all of these, because it's always been an evergreen title. It sells throughout the lifespan of the console that it's on because there's never a bad time to start, and the game doesn't really penalize you for getting in late. So this having this kind of power and momentum, in large part, I think it may be due to the stay-at-home, shelter-in-place order, because it's the perfect game for this time. And Nintendo couldn't have planned that. They just are reaping the benefits of really good timing.
I think we discussed this once to a certain degree. It got a lot of press, very, very positive press from very big mainstream media. CNN had a piece that said, like, this is the best game for the time right now. Yep. I don't know if you saw the Animal Crossing Pocket Camp numbers have skyrocketed too.
And they just announced the first interaction between the two games. Did you see that?
I'm sure I heard about it. I'm not sure what the exact interaction is.
I got a notification on my Switch. I'm doing this from memory, and I don't play Pocket Camp, so I don't have it fully memorized. But it's something like, if your Nintendo account is linked, you get something like 50 Leaf tickets in Pocket Camp.
Yeah.
And you get an exclusive item in New Horizons.
Oh, yeah. It's like a rug of some sort.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was like a day one thing. But yeah, I'm wondering
if they're gonna do anything
bigger with that.
Because I just got hit with it on my Switch news stream.
Oh,
weird.
You could already.
Oh yeah, just got it like yesterday.
Yeah, I know
that little side margin.
I think I got one a while ago, but yeah, who knows? But that being said, too, I mean, I think a lot of people who can't get Switches right now, because Switches are still in crazy high demand at the moment, they're hearing all this buzz about it, and they're downloading Pocket Camp to kind of figure out what Animal Crossing is all about. So, again, I think Nintendo is reaping the benefits on several different areas here. Yeah. And then the last thing about the sales numbers is that it is now the second best-selling game of 2020, just slightly behind Call of Duty Modern Warfare, which, again, very, very weird to see.
You couldn't have two games that are any more different.
And Call of Duty Modern Warfare is on Xbox, it's on PlayStation, it's on PC.
Yeah, and it's one of those games that always appears at the top of the list.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is, you know that once the digital sales are disclosed, that it's going to blow Brawl out of the water, because Brawl did not have any digital sales, so
true.
That number's quite finite. And then the ultimate sales, I don't really know what... we did see those numbers, didn't we, already? Ultimate is not Nintendo's top seller overall, but the fastest seller
is fastest.
What we're really talking about.
Which I'm guessing is now going to be eclipsed by this.
Yeah.
When you factor in digital. Too.
I would think so. And then what would be even more interesting to me, and I imagine we probably will see this at some point, is how this momentum continues late into the console lifespan, because we got this Mario Kart up at 17 some odd million. Can this touch that? Like, are we going to get really, really high enduring numbers?
What's Mario Kart up to?
If I'm remembering, I think like... No. The Pokemon's were at like 17.
I think Mario Kart was way above that.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if we could pull that back up. I remember us talking about it on the show. Mario Kart was far and away above everything else. I think it was Luigi's Mansion was hovering around 5 million.
And yeah. So I think Animal Crossing in Japan
16.
Sold 12 million units in Japan, if I remember this correctly. But man, it's either way, no matter what, we talked about this before it launched, and you and I were going back and forth on what kind of sales figures this was going to see. And I was optimistic it was going to do well, but at the same time, too, I'm like, could this possibly do that well?
Yeah, I think we actually said that exact thing. We were like, this is going to be big, but is it going to be Pokemon big? I think it might. Like, I think that's where we were on it. And yeah, it turns out, it's Pokemon big.
I want to see what Nintendo is planning on doing with this franchise going forward. When you have these kind of sales numbers, you can't afford to release a game like this once every 7 years. So I think the days of Animal Crossing being a 7-year franchise are gone. I think...
Oh, I don't know, because they could just keep selling us more of it.
I agree. I think we're going to see DLC, but I also think we're going to see a lot more merchandise. We're going to see... maybe an animated series. There was already a movie in Japan years ago. I think we're going to see a lot more focus on Animal Crossing and its world in the coming years.
Yeah,
and I think, I think the biggest thing we saw in between the last two Animal Crossings was that godforsaken Amiibo Festival. But I would not be surprised if we see spin-offs, one-offs, merchandise, cartoons. Like, I think that this is one of these phenomenons Nintendo can't afford to not capitalize on, especially in today's climate. Nintendo's relied so heavily on Mario and Zelda in the past.
Yeah, and now they've got another big behemoth right up at the top. Pokemon, too. So, like, the big three is Mario, Zelda, and Pokemon. And now there's a new sheriff in town. I did pull up those figures. So Mario Kart 8... is sitting just under 23 million units.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's
not untouchable. An Ultimate, and these have changed because it's a little bit old now. And then Ultimate is just shy of 18 million. And then Mario Odyssey, Breath of the Wild, and Pokemon 3, 4, and 5 on Nintendo's top 5 are all at 16 million.
I cannot wait to see these numbers.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be there.
God, it's such a weird time. I remember back in the day, the N64 era, if a game sold 1 million copies, it was like you got a special stamp on your box that said like million seller.
You know, it seems like it's not unforeseeable that this is going to pass Pokemon, Zelda, and Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
Like, that's not unforeseeable.
Just, I never would have thought I'd see the day that Mario would be dethroned. I never would have
seen that. No, definitely not by Animal Crossing. Yeah. Because I've always loved Animal Crossing. You and I got into it at the very beginning, but we kind of knew that it was a niche game, and it appealed to a select crowd. It did not have the broad appeal of a Zelda or a Mario or a Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Or even Pokemon. But apparently, things have changed, and it does. Either that, or it was just the right game at the right time, and it was a perfect storm for profit.
Part of me wonders how much of this has to do with the decision Nintendo made regarding one island per system.
Yeah, by
because making people my have sister to buy more than has one. Three kids. And she had to buy a copy of the game for each kid because they could not share an island.
Yeah. And I'm on the other side of that spectrum. I have 5 family members who play it.
Yeah.
We all play it on the same island. And I've not bought a separate copy for each kid. That would be a bit, I think, outside of our budget parameters for me to be buying individual copies. But also, we only have one Switch in the home.
Yeah.
So I'd really have to invest in, and Animal Crossing isn't enough of a. Well, I shouldn't say that. It's not that Animal Crossing isn't enough. It's that us individually being able to play it isn't enough.
Yeah.
But I do know that people who play it, like Happily Candy plays it, she does not want people mucking up her island.
Yeah, that is a fact.
She
very
she
very needs, strict rules that one has.
Yes. So in your house, it was never a question that there was going to be at least 2.
Yeah, that is very true. Again, I think once Switches come back in stock too, that number is just going to keep going up and up and up because people want these more than anything at this point. But it's crazy. I'm thrilled to see these numbers. I'm very happy for Nintendo. I'm curious to see how they're going to keep the content coming out. And I'm waiting like 3 to 6 months down the line for that tweet to come out that says, here's our first paid DLC. Because it's coming. It's coming at some point.
Yeah. What I will say I sorely miss in Animal Crossing is any reference to other Nintendo franchises. Because that's always been the main charm for me. And it's always kind of been my ultimate goal is to collect all of the NES games or, in the most recent version, all of the Nintendo-themed items.
Yeah.
So I could have my Mario room, my Zelda room, my Metroid room, my Pikmin room, and none of that yet in this game. So I'm hoping that that's something that's on the horizon.
Yeah. Agreed. TJ, we covered a lot of topics today. Animal Crossing, some crazy Splatoon news that just kind of popped up. We had Mario
Maker. Are you wearing a Splatoon shirt?
I am. It's my, this is the Splat tournament thing from E3.
You summoned it into being.
I did.
Your Splatoon themed shirt.
I was just lazy. It was on the top of the clothing pile today. So
nice.
But I do have a piece of trivia for you to close the podcast out.
All right. Lay it on me.
This is a Link to the Past piece of trivia.
Okay.
So A Link to the Past is obviously The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, but in Japan, it was known by something else. It was not called that thing in the U.S. due to Nintendo's incredibly strict censorship policies. Can you tell me what A Link to the Past is known as in Japan?
Oh, maybe not. I think that it was a religious reference, if I'm recalling correctly. I think
that
it was
is like correct.
Triforce of the Gods?
That is right. Or, right off
the Is it really?
It's Triforce of the Gods.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Nice.
So
awesome.
Nintendo was very, very picky about many of the symbols and terminology they used in the U.S. There was symbols in the game as well, in some of the dungeons. And for bonus points, I don't know if you can tell me one of the symbols that was censored in A Link to the Past in the U.S. release.
I definitely remember some Islamic symbols being removed from Ocarina of Time, but I don't know. Going back to the original Zelda game, we have religious imagery because 8-bit Link's shield from the original one and even the sequel has the Christian cross on it.
Yeah.
And they have never gone so far as to remove that from the game. But I couldn't even venture to guess.
I believe it was a Star of David that was removed from the floor of one of the temples. I'm trying to find the image of it again. I wasn't intending on asking you that question, but you nailed it. That was like off the top of your head. I got to make these more difficult.
That was a pretty hard one. That just was luck. Like I sort of remembered it.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the deep recesses of my mind. But the fact that I was able to recall it when the pressure was on, I'm very happy about that.
Well, big congrats to you.
Thanks. Glad to finish this on a high note.
TJ, where can the good folks at home find you?
You know, I'm not going to lie. I've been a little lazy with the content making lately. But when I do make stuff or maybe haven't checked my stuff out yet, you can find a lot of it over on the Nintendo Wire YouTube channel. And if you want to keep up with me on Twitter, which right now is some combination of either shirtless Ring Fit posts or weird Animal Crossing updates.
My wife loves those, by the way.
That's funny. It's that that new rhythm mode. It got me all pumped up. You can find me on Twitter at Custom Conquest.
Rock and roll. And if you're looking for information on me, you can find me over on my personal Twitter account, at AmiiboJason. Otherwise, at NintendoWire.com, where I'm making content as much as I can. And I'm back on a regular schedule on YouTube, at least for now. YouTube.com/NintendoWire for my daily Nintendo news show. Daily is kind of a loose word, though. The Nintendo Wire tap. I'm putting up the Wirecasts on YouTube starting as of last week, so expect episodes there as well. And then other fun content I can figure out, I throw that up there too. And then if you're interested, TJ, I just got a notification that the Mario Maker 2 update is live right now. So if you want to play with that, it's out a bit early.
Yeah, for me, it's 10 a.m., so I've got all day to test this out.
Enjoy it. Let me know. Next time, we'll talk about it.
Sounds good, man.
All right, man. Until next time, stay wired in.
Thanks for playing.